Y'all are on time and ready to go. This is Tuesday, October 7th, and this is the Tuesday SD group. And this is Diane. So glad you guys have joined us. We've got a good-sized group today, so I'm probably going to do a little bit more kind of calling on everybody rather than, you know, asking for folks. It's hard to want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to chat if they want to, but, you know, please, you know, bump in. There's no way to raise your hand easily, but just kind of speak up and say, hey, Diane, I want to talk. But I will go around real quickly and just have everybody, you know, let's hear from about four people how things went this past week with regard to self-care, because that's what we talked about last time, and I don't know how many of you were actually there, but it looks like since I have put names on everybody, hi, Megan, it's Diane. I see that you just joined us. My guess is that everybody was here last time. So why don't you about five of you jump in and tell me how things have been going in terms of self-care. Sheila, you want to go first since we were talking about you and your horse?
Well,
a different Julie.
Oh, no, I said Sheila. I'm sorry.
This is my first time with you, so I wasn't on the call. And I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Should I mute myself? Is there a way to do that?
If you have background noise, I would love for you to mute yourself. The way this works is I leave everybody open. I mean, I guess I could put everybody on mute and then have you raise your hand. Would that be easier for folks? I guess let me just kind of check in with folks. I've kind of just run it where people can talk, but we can do it either. We can try it either way. I don't know how Elaine. How did Elaine do it last week?
I think we each muted our own lines if we have that capability.
Great. Okay. So if you have background noise, go ahead and mute your own line. Sheila, can you find a way to mute if you need to?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So who wants to check in and tell me how they did on self-care?
This is Mia. I was an absolute failure, but I had good intentions. So,
yay.
I even got my bathing suit on under my clothes, finding a low-impact aqua aerobics class to go to. Took my daughter to school early to just make sure she got her homework binder started. The helper teacher wasn't there that day, and her teacher begged me to stay so I could do a classroom observation because things have really fallen off a cliff in the past couple of weeks at school. So I literally did a classroom observation in my bathing suit under my clothes. Goodness. I was wearing yoga pants.
But I got to say, that's an A for effort, Mia. That's
right.
Like awesome. If you were already there and you were ready to go, and you did a little regroup to evaluate your values and decided that helping out the teacher was a priority for you. So
it was the right decision in the moment. But I failed on the self care. But yes, it was the right thing. I will try again tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, anybody else? How'd it go for self-care?
Well, this is Jeannie. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Jeannie.
Well, that's one area I don't have a problem with. I'm very disciplined, and I got up this morning. I mean, I always exercise. I've been exercising forever, so I went on the treadmill. And it's not really the self-care as much. It's more, you know, the not around, and I could do myself. You know, I can exercise and everything else. But when they get home, then things kind of shift a bit. So I could take care of myself and...
did you try anything different from last time? It sounds like you're in a pretty good routine with the exercise. Was there anything new that you were going to try after the last call?
I started doing, I'm going to start doing massage once a month also. It's actually my emotional response to something which I have to work on myself. You know, I mean, I've been exercising, so that to me that's not enough for me. You know, to not get upset, say me with my kids, especially Ryan is the one that he pulls the button, pushes the buttons, whatever. But actually, he's been very good this week. So I have been working on myself not to get into his responses and stuff. So I've been working on a lot of things there, not to respond to his stuff. So I've been doing some work with that.
Right.
Managing
your own triggers is what.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more
great.
Neat.
Good for you. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Lynn, hey, I see you just joined us. Anyone else want to kind of report back on how things have been going with self-care? Everybody is failing. Everybody is succeeding. People feel good about it. Lisa, what about you?
Well, I'm pretty good with self-care. when my son is busy, like he goes to Sunday school for 4 hours. So I got to go to the gym and take a yoga class, and then I sat by the pool and swam a little bit. And so I'm good with that. But I'm just, you know, I'm trying not to, like this morning, you know, I kind of really got on his case because he didn't finish his fraction homework. And, you know, he's not, I just think that, you know, he's 10 years old and he needs to be more responsible and not have somebody tell him everything that he needs to do. And so I really got on his case about it. And then I feel bad about that. So, so that's another piece that I want to try to work on is how to manage that. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how.
And I don't want to defer. If we have time to do some laser coaching, I'm happy to coach you around that, Lisa. I think we're going to cover expectations not next week, but the week. So not in the next session, mm-hmm. but the session after that. And I think it's a really good one. We all struggle with that issue of how do I challenge my child to be more independent, but help them as much as they need to, and figure mm-hmm. out what that fine line is. And we had a similar conversation. You know, when we were in the noon group is, you know, 13 to 17-year-old kids, and mm-hmm. they're struggling with the same sort of thing at a different level. So it's a real common issue, and we'll definitely mm-hmm. work with here to wrestle that through the ground because it's tough for all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anybody else kind of just report out quickly on self-care? Anybody want to celebrate anything? Mia, I appreciate
you
being honest. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Diane. Yeah, I mean, this is Donna. If anything to celebrate, but I haven't been receiving bad notes from the teacher for the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, that makes it even more motivating for me to, I guess, continue taking care of myself as well because, I'm able to spend better time with my son without being so angry.
That's awesome. That's a great thing to celebrate. Remind me again, Donna, how old is your son?
He's 8 years old, third grade.
Great.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, it feels so good when you have those times where you're not having to deal with a crisis. Sometimes that's the time to take advantage and do some things for yourself. So good for you. One more person want to share a little bit about self-care and how they're doing.
This is Julie, and on Friday night, I went out with some girlfriends, and we went dancing, and we had a really good time. So
awesome! Yay!
Woo!
So,
Mom's night out.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being super easy, 1 being really, really hard, how hard was it for you to do that?
It was pretty easy. I like stealing my time, you know, stealing that time
yeah.
because I know if I don't demand it or take it that I won't get it. It doesn't get, like, volunteered to me, so I have to just do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true, and I think that that's the thing. It's like sometimes we feel guilty, but sometimes
yes.
we really get the fact that if we feed ourselves, it would feed our kids too. So good for you for doing that. Julie, remind me how old your child is.
I'm 10 years old, 10-year-old boy.
Okay. All right. So I know Elaine was with you guys, I think, last week. And so Elaine and I tend to run things fairly consistently, but you might see some differences. And would appreciate those of you who are on both the calls. We'd love to hear, you know, what you loved about each, and always give us the feedback. Just a few logistical questions. If I want to make sure everybody knows how to get onto the website by now, and everybody knows how to get into Facebook. If you're having a hard time with either of those things, please send me a note at Diane@impactadhd.com and let us help you kind of get hooked in so you can listen to the recordings, listen to the webinars. I know that in the Monday messages we reference reading certain articles or listening to webinars, and if you haven't figured out how to get onto the website, it's hard to do that. And anything that we don't have time to talk about on the call, post it. Like we had a conversation about electronics and about like net nannies and how to kind of keep your how to let your child do their homework on the computer and also keep them off of the places they're not supposed to. And so I suggested somebody post that on Facebook, but it's a great example that we need to use that forum for topics to get a broader perspective from the whole group. We've got, you know, over 100 people, I think, in that Facebook forum, so it's a great group of people to get some good ideas and insights from. Okay, so we start by taking aim, and if everybody's got their workbook, I'm just going to kind of go back and reference the parenting action model. And that's another thing. If you have not had the time yet to watch the ADHD parent manual video, it's only about 20 minutes long. It's worth it. It's out on the members section of the site. It should have been attached to an email as well. That's another thing. If you can't find it, please send us a note and let us know, and we'll get you hooked up again. But it really walks you through our model and how to use it, and we've covered that in the last couple of sessions. But just a reminder, we're starting by taking aim, and we know that there's lots of challenges in the ADHD household, but we want to focus in on one particular area each time we get on a call, because it helps us to listen differently. So if you're kind of like, okay, I want to focus in on X. I want to focus in on getting my child to get started on his homework in the afternoon because it's really hard after a long day of school, you know. And you want to be as specific as possible. So it may not just be I want to focus in on my child and his homework. It might be I want to focus on my child and getting him started with his homework, or getting him to stay focused on his homework once he's started. Or it might be helping your child to remember to turn things in. I mean, so you want to be as specific as possible, because when you take aim, the smaller the issue is that you take aim on, the easier it is to take action. And the second step is to educate. And we're going to do a little bit of education today, because we're going to talk about activating the brain, and we'll talk a little bit about the neurobiology of ADHD. And then we're going to take action using one of the four critical response areas. And so today we're going to talk about activating the brain. So just take a minute and make a note to yourself and say, where are you going to take aim? What's that big thing that you're like, I want to keep an ear out because I really need help with blank? So take a minute and just get real clear for yourself on what is that one area that you're really looking for that golden nugget around. If anybody's having a hard time getting really specific, if somebody's got like a big, broad area and needs me to help you figure out what specifically is going on, let me know. I'm happy to coach you a little bit around that, because sometimes it's hard. Anybody want to share what they're going to take aim on?
I do. This is Sheila.
Okay, Sheila, what are you going to take aim on?
My son, Ben, who is 8, keeping his hands to himself in the morning.
Okay, great.
That would be, I have no idea how to make that, you know, cause that or support that happening. So he doesn't touch his brother or his sister, you know, and make them cry.
Great. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to share what they're going to take aim on?
Hi, this is Adana. Maybe for us, it's the other way around. It's keeping my son's hands off of his toys in the morning, because that really adds time and makes him late. So we've sort of taken care of the getting up
from bed, it has been a breeze the last 2-3 weeks, and I'm very thankful and happy about that. But once he's up and he starts getting dressed, he picks up a Lego, and it just adds and adds time. So
right.
I need to just keep him focused that, you know, playing with Legos and his toys is not part of the morning routine.
Right. Okay. Anybody else share what they're going to take aim on?
Hi, this is Megan, and I will take the same exact thing that Sheila picked about keeping hands to himself in the morning.
Megan, how old's your son?
8.
Hmm. Wow, something about 8-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. So anybody, does everybody have, let me just say it the other way. Is there anyone who doesn't have something that they're going to take aim on today?
I don't.
Who is that?
This is Lisa. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. So, is there something in particular that's been a difficult situation for you guys lately?
Math.
Math. Okay.
But I don't know how to break it down.
So what is it specifically about math that's been a challenge?
My son just, he doesn't want to do it. And we have get a lot of math. We have a lot of math homework every night, and and he just doesn't want to do it. It's a struggle, and
It sounds like it's you're taking aim on helping your son to. Is it getting started? Does he get started, or he's resisting getting started, or is it having a hard time getting it done?
He resists getting started. He wants to do as little as possible. He says, he cries about it, and
great.
It's just everything around it.
Okay, so you're going to take aim specifically on math homework, getting it started, and keeping him motivated to finish it.
Okay.
Is that right? Does that sound good?
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else need help taking aim?
Hi, Dave. This is Christy.
Okay, Christy, what's going on for you guys?
I think the hardest struggle right now is bedtime, getting to bed peacefully.
Okay, so we got curious. What is it that's going on that's making it difficult to get to bed on?
Well, we just had a lot of changes in our family, and so his routine is gone. My husband moved out a month ago, and so he's struggling with rage at night before bed because he doesn't have that same ritual he's used to.
Okay. So I wonder whether you could take aim on finding a calming ritual for him at the end of the day.
That would be good.
How does that sound? Great. Anybody else need help?
Well, I have one, but I think I'm going to go along with Sheila. This is Jeannie. My son's much older than your kids. They're 12 and 15. This is the time slot I could do. My son Ryan, he's 12 years old. He picks on his brother all the time, who's 15 years old. So to keep him. Stop picking on him and nagging him and everything else. And my son Mike, to get him to go to bed early and stay in bed because he'll be up at 12 at night, whatever, and he just has a hard time sleeping. He'll get up 6 in the morning, but I'm sure he's still tired. So just keep him in bed instead of, like, wandering the halls at night and just not sleeping really well.
So, Jeannie, I got to ask, how hard is it for you to tackle – one for each boy at the same time. Is that realistic?
No, but it goes on all the time, so things are always going on all the time. Last time we tackled Micah with his teeth brushing, and actually he's been much better about that. So actually,
okay,
I think
if you had to pick one, which one would you pick? One boy staying in bed or the other one keeping his hands to himself?
I think Ryan, because he drives Micah crazy, bothering him all the time. Micah's trying to figure out what he's going to do about his sleeping problem on his own, which is pretty incredible. So probably Ryan, keeping him off of his brother. Just going in his room, bothering him. He's just kind of a pain sometimes, you know. And he's older,
well,
so he can.
Well, here's the thing. This is the challenge for us because, you know, we have, especially we have multiple kids with multiple problems. I'm going to encourage everybody to pick one. It doesn't mean you're going to ignore the rest of them forever, but as you're thinking through and you're working through a process, it's important to start with one.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about activate the brain. And so as I mentioned, you know, as part of the parenting action model, there are really four areas that we tackle, and we're going to talk about each of them separately. But this week, the four are activate the brain, parent positively, shifting expectations, and using systems and structures. And I love starting with activate the brain because it gives us an excuse to really understand and get curious about what's going on in the ADHD brain that it needs activating, right? And we all need brain activation. We all operate better if we've gotten a good night's sleep, if we've got a full stomach, if we've gotten some exercise and we're, you know, calm and not stressed out. I mean, all of those things help our brain to work more efficiently. But in the ADHD brain, especially where they're already challenged, it's really important to make sure that the brain is healthy. It helps us to regulate our emotions. It helps us, as I mentioned, to manage our stress. And it really does help to make the ADHD brain work much better if we can do things that will, quote unquote, activate it. And so when we talk about activating the brain, we are talking about things like exercise and sleep and nutrition. If your child is on medication, that's a tool that you use to activate their brain because from a biology perspective, the medication is helping the dopamine and the chemicals in the brain to work more effectively. And what's happening is that, you know, we have this. Most people who have ADHD have challenges with executive function, and I don't know if you guys have heard that term before. If you need some more details on executive function, there's a great, you know, set of paragraphs in the workbook this week that really walks through the six sections of challenges of executive function. We use a model by Dr. Tom Brown, who's a great resource. But the six challenges of executive function for ADDers are activation, which is, you know, organizing, prioritizing, and getting started on things. Focusing, which would be, you know, sustaining attention, transitioning between tasks. Effort is, you know, kind of keeping things going and sustaining effort and keeping things moving at a good pace. Emotions is about managing frustration and handling our emotions. Memory is working memory. So it's kind of like if you send your child up to the room to get their socks and they come down with a toy instead. And then action, which is knowing when to act and when not to act. And the part of the brain that handles all of these executive functions is the frontal lobe. And what happens, particularly in the ADHD brain, is that frontal lobe is challenged chemically, and also for many ADDers, that frontal lobe is actually smaller. And when we get stressed out and we don't have the right amount of, quote-unquote, brain health, we don't have as much access and as much power to use that part of our brain. So think about it, for example. I don't know how many of you are ADD and how many of you are not, but have you ever gotten so stressed out that you just can't think? And it's kind of like, or you're so overwhelmed that you just can't think, and it feels like that part of your brain is shut down. That's what happens when we're in, you know, when we're stressed out or when we get really overwhelmed. And when you're ADD, it makes it even more difficult, even in a smaller amount of stress, tends to shut down, and it's that part of your brain that problem solves, and it's that part of your brain that tells you what to do when and when to do it, and it's that part of you that tells you, yes, I want to follow mom's directions and brush my teeth, even though she's had to tell me four times. I mean, it's that part of the brain, and so actually what's going on in the brain is that your child's having a difficult time biologically. So activating the brain is important because it keeps things going and moving in the brain and helps the brain to work more efficiently, which doesn't necessarily, and by any stretch of the imagination, cure some of the executive function challenges. And those of you who have kids on medication know that just taking medication isn't enough to help them to stay organized and to follow through. Mm-hmm. But it does often, activating the brain, whether it's medication or not medication, does help the brain to focus and to stay calm so that it's more likely to be able to follow through than if it's stressed out and understimulated. So that's my, you know, 5-minute version on activating the brain. There's lots more on the different areas of executive function in the workbook. But what comes up for all of you guys as you think about this area of activating the brain?
It explains so much about how my daughter's performance is so different in drama versus during reading groups at school. I just got to figure out how to harness that. So.
So is that Mia? Is that who that was?
It is Mia, yes. So.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about what you mean, Mia.
With the activating, I realized that those parts of her brains that drive that executive function, that ability to make good decisions and wait and sit quietly and listen for instructions, she's so passionate and engaged in her drama class that she's taking, and she so wants to be Tinkerbell, that that's effectively activating those parts of her brain that are dormant at other times of the day when you might hope that they would be more active.
That's a great example, because one of the things that really does activate the brain is motivation. And we're going to spend a whole session talking about motivation, but the reality is that the ADHD brain cannot do anything if it's not genuinely interested. And it's almost like our brain gets really sluggish if there's not some kind of motivation. And like you just said, she loves and is passionate about drama and is really inspired to be Tinkerbell. That's motivation for her to sit, that helps stimulate her brain, that helps sort of focus. So that's a great other example. So motivation might be another way to activate the brain. Thanks, Mia. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hey, Christine.
So how in the things that you're trying to help them, like with my son's organization, how do you motivate or find something that's interesting to keep him doing it on his own so that he can do it every day on his own without me nagging him? Or how do you activate the brain on something that they're just not interested in at all?
Well, I think that it's important to know that with motivators, it's not going to take them from being completely dependent to completely independent, but it's going to help them to be more successful. So even at 8, 10, remind me, Christine, how old is your son?
11.
11. So even at 11, you can sit down and, you know, have a conversation with your child and figure out, you know, what is it that they love to do? What is it that excites them? What is it that inspires them? And I know that my son's a little bit older now, but when he was that age, we'd do things like, you know, if you finish these next 10 questions, then you can take a break and have a tickle fight, you know, for a lot of things with our kids at this age, it's like you have to actually put in interim motivators because the tasks we need them to do are longer than they're able to sustain attention. So for most of our kids, even 10 minutes of homework is likely to take much more than 10 minutes. But their brains are only able to sustain attention for about 10 minutes. So you actually have to take breaks, every few minutes, to try to get them to have enough energy to get through a longer assignment or follow through on a request. So you can use a reward. You still want to give them a brain break if they need it, but you can do something special if you know that there's something that they like. But what you want to do is to sit down and talk to them and say, what are some of the things that you love? You know, some kids love, like, an extra story at bedtime. Some kids love, like, date night with mom to go out for ice cream. Some kids love, extra 10 minutes playing one game on your iPad, you know. So find something that your child likes that does is motivating. And it needs often to be something that can happen pretty quickly, you know. So especially at these younger ages, saying if you get it done today, something can happen on Friday, often doesn't motivate them because it's too far away. It needs to be when you're done, you can have ice cream. Or when you're done, you can have a 5-minute break to play with a dog or whatever it is. So does that help, Christine?
Well, okay, so then if in the morning when you're getting ready and you ask them to go upstairs and grab their socks, and instead, mm-hmm. like you were saying, they grab their toy and they forget their socks, what's a motivator that you can give them in the morning when you're trying to get ready and they can't even remember either the item,
right.
or if you give them like a list of maybe two items, they bring only one item. How would you
right.
kind
so,
of motivate that?
So one thing is that if you give them two and they can't remember two, chances are they can't remember two. And so you need to, you know, give them one at a time. A lot of kids at the ages that our kids are at are motivated by competition. So you go, okay, I'm going to count, and you see how fast you can get upstairs and get your socks, and then come down and hand me your socks, and then run back upstairs and get your shoes, and then come back down and hand me your shoes, and I'm going to time you. So you ready? On your mark, get set, go. And so a lot of times that competition, that stimulation, and again, if you're getting their brain moving, you're getting them going in the morning, it's a great example of brain health to and activating the brain to kind of get them going, because a lot of times our kids' brains are sluggish in the morning. If we're medicating them, a lot of times their medication, you know, won't kick in until they get to school or after they've been up for a while, those sorts of things. So it's about recognizing what he can reasonably do and maybe splitting the task into two, Christine.
Okay.
What else comes up for folks as we talk about activating the brain? One of the things go ahead.
This is Sheila. You know, I don't want to be negative, but when you ask the question, what comes up for me is like, I don't really see a difference because I try to do healthy food and they eat junk at school. You know, it's almost impossible to keep really healthy food for the whole day. And I don't have a medication with him, but I've tried different supplements and mm-hmm. Neuralink and kind of things, and I never see any difference.
Okay.
And even exercise, he's like, we went to karate last night, and I mean, he was wrestling and doing all this stuff, and it just made him wilder.
Yeah. Well, and so there's two aspects of this. It's like, one is, you know, what revs them up. And the other is what activates his brain. So wrestling may not be a great example of something that activates his brain without getting him overstimulated.
Okay.
You know, so you want to try to find that balance. It may be that taking the dog for a walk with you might. It might be that jumping jacks. You know, something that doesn't. So you want to find something that fits more of a balance. Does that help, Sheila?
Yes, that does.
The other thing I would suggest is you notice when he is focused. What are the things that help him to focus, whether it's a motivation or whether it's a particular time of day? When do you see him most able to sustain his attention?
Okay, that's good. I can do those things. And I think I like the walking the dog, you know, activities that are with movement, but not so intense.
Right.
You know.
We used to have we would do jumping jacks in between. Like, we'd do 10 problems and then 20 jumping jacks. And then we had a small trampoline, and we would do, spelling words while they were bouncing on the trampoline to kind of keep the momentum going. You know, so it's things like that where you're using physical activity to help them to keep their brain moving forward.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So the thing that we were talking about in the earlier group today was about challenges with homework and about how remembering that the brain needs to be activated is important, because a lot of times we'll come home from school and it's like, go get your homework done. I want you to get your homework done because I don't want your medication to wear off, or I've got to make dinner, or I've got to, you know, get on with my evening. And it's important to recognize, what does your child really need after school?
Do they need some downtime to just relax and chill? Do they need to make sure that they have food in their stomach because they're starving and it's hard to really, you know, have an optimum brain when you're starving? Do they need a little bit of exercise before they jump into their homework? So begin to watch those moments where your kids are really prone to meltdowns or prone to not being able to do their homework. And those are kind of the two big areas that we lump into. It's like school problems or emotional intensity. You know, begin to notice and get really curious. When is it happening? Is it a certain time each day? Is it, you know, have they eaten? Have they gotten exercise? How are they doing on their sleep? That sort of thing. Other thoughts from folks on how this applies to their kid or their family situation?
Hi, Diane. This is Jeannie. And when you said activating the brain, I was listening to one of the downloads from actually, what was it, Attitude Magazine. And then I think you have the same guy. There's someone with the apps that help the brain, you know, some games and stuff like Minecraft that activates the brain. You have to kind of give it a limit of how much would help your child after a while. After a while, it's not good at all, but it does activate your child's brain positively. They said it helps the child organize and everything else, but the problem is to get your child off the technology after they played it for a while. You know, but it, actually, they said it is good for their brain. It does activate them in a good sense.
Right. That's great. No, and I think that that's true with anything. With our kids, we know that one of the big challenges for our kids is transition. So they have a difficult time with hyper-focus, and they have a difficult time going from one activity to another activity. You want to be very aware and put systems and structures in place to help them. Okay, you can play Minecraft, but every 10 minutes you need to, you know, go run around the house for a minute to kind of break yourself away or do something to kind of keep the routine and to avoid getting hyper-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Yep.
And there actually is two webinars out on our website about Randy Coleman is the one who's done a couple of webinars for us on
so
video
good.
Games, and he did the one for Attitude as well.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I watched yours, too. I did both of them.
Great.
That was so good.
Great. Lynn, what's going on at your place? Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Were you asking about activating the brain? She's got to have that protein and the activity, the physical activity. And it's like when I pick her up from daycare and I'm asking a question about how her day, and she says, I don't want to talk. Well, I know I need to be, I don't need to ask. I'll need to talk. and just let her, you know, have her quiet time until we get home and start in there with the getting something to eat right before we can do anything else.
Yeah, that's great noticing. And sometimes they just need to have time to not, you know, our kids hold it together all day long at school, and so sometimes they need to just kind of come home and just let it go. I have one who's an introvert and one who's an extrovert, and my introvert would come home and go sit in his room by himself for half an hour, and my daughter would come in and she would sit at the kitchen table and just talk for half an hour because she needed to, you know, get all the extra energy out. So it's about noticing your kid and knowing what they're about and helping them to adjust to getting their evening started. Thanks, Lynn.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts on activating the brain?
This is Sue here, and I'm curious with activating the brain, is motivation a part of that?
Motivation is a way to activate the brain.
Motivation is why, okay.
So because if the brain is, so the ADHD brain has a difficult time accomplishing something, creating some sort of motivator can definitely help activate it.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, we're going to have a whole session on motivation. That's in chapter
And this is Mia. I apologize. I'm going to have to jump off in just a few minutes. I just didn't want to interrupt.
Great. Thanks, Mia. Anything you want to say in parting about, or do you want to make a commitment to what you're going to focus in on? Or
I'm still focusing on the eating because we find that when my daughter has eaten protein at every meal that her emotionality is much more under control and everything is better. So we've been doing, we tried taste tests last week, but I discovered that when I put out six foods for her to taste test, it's overwhelming to her. So we're trying one new food or protein shake or something a day. So I'm just continuing down that path and trying to let go what I think a proper meal should be, because vouchers can be for breakfast. So.
Yeah. No, anything that's the piece of it is you figure out what they like and when they'll eat it, and as long as they get something in.
Exactly. Yeah. Just I'll report back if I find any really good things that are successful so that others can skip the intermediate.
Yeah, and you might go ahead and post that on Facebook, Mia, because I know that other parents have struggled with the same thing. My son eats a piece of rolled up ham with Parmesan cheese on it.
Yeah, exactly. Things that I would not think, yes. It's like, ew, but okay, it's protein.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
Yes, that's a great, I should start that thread. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, any other? So, I'm curious, has anybody had situations where they've been successful in helping their child activate their brain? And what have they done?
This is Lisa. I find that, you know, if I give him, like, a motivator, then I can get him to get stuff accomplished that he doesn't want to do, like behaving in Sunday school. If I tell him that there's a reward. But what's interesting is by the time he gets home and everything is done, I have to postpone the reward. And so hearing what you had to say today about, you know, for his age, I can't really postpone the reward. He really needs it at that time. So he feels like he got it. But just some things that we talked about in other weeks about, like I would have him do 10 minutes of math, and then we did some wheelbarrow races. And the problem is he wants to keep on playing, but he's able to focus a little bit better. Or if I tell him, you know, I'll let you do 10 minutes of screens. If you do 10 minutes of math, he gets do two rows of math. He gets the math done so fast in like 2 minutes. And then he can do the 10 minutes of screens. But again, the problem is then getting him off of it to do another two rows. But we are having some success with like instant rewards.
Yeah. Well, and the thing you might do is you might say, okay, if you get off after the 10 minutes, there's two pieces of it. One is to create a reward for getting off in the 2 minutes or consequence for not getting off in the 10 minutes. The other thing is to just really watch the transition. So it may be that he needs a, you know, 5-minute warning, a 4-minute warning, a 3-minute warning, and a 2-minute
mm-hmm.
warning in order to be able to get out successfully at the end of 10 minutes. I think that that's the piece of it is transitioning is really tough for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Any other successes with activating the brain people want to share?
Well, this is Jeannie again. Actually, I've been doing a lot of work with Ryan again and just getting off stuff and just trying to get him up in the morning to motivate him in the morning. So I'm like, what in the world can I do here? And I know in the past he's always like, you know, Minecraft, like I mentioned before, or something called World of Tanks that he really loves and he's really good at, even though he's only 12. And to motivate him in the morning, you know, he's going to bed early at night, 8:30, 8:45, the latest, and if he gets up early on his own, he gets to enjoy some World of Tanks before he goes to school. He has to get dressed, he does all this on his own. If he's motivated, he gets dressed and everything else, and then sits at the table, and he gets to have some breakfast while watching it. And that's a big motivator, and he gets him going in the morning, which I'm amazed that he gets himself together so quickly because he wants that. And he's done it in the past, and then it just wanes, and then he gets bored. So right now, this is the newest thing that he gets him up and going in the morning, and he's just ready. So it's kind of huge, but he doesn't stick with it, and he gets bored. So then there might be something else, but right now, this is working, and he's in a good mood. He goes to bed earlier, and he knows, Mom, I need to go to bed early because I'm cranky if I don't get my sleep, and he knows that. So he's working with it, and this is what he wants to do, and he knows he needs to sleep because he's a mess in the morning if he doesn't have his rest.
Yeah. Well, and I think that happens as our kids get older, as they begin to start feeling their own effects of it. And when our kids mm-hmm. are, you know, 8 to 11, it's important for us to highlight it and share with them mm-hmm. and gently and nicely to be able to say things like, wow, you are really tired today. I wonder what happened. Oh, yeah. Didn't you have a hard time getting off the computer last night? And so you didn't have the normal time that you got it. You know, so it's mm-hmm. just gently, one of our experts calls it being their mirror. So you mm-hmm. want to, you know, share with them what you see, what you notice, mm-hmm. not with judgment. Because what you're really trying to do is help them to begin to see what you are seeing yep. in a way that is acceptable to them. You know? Cool. All right. So we've got about just shy of 10, just like 13 minutes left. I do have time. If somebody has a particular issue, I can do some quick laser coaching before we do our wrap up. Is there anything? I know a few of you, we did a little bit of that earlier on. Is there anyone who has a pressing issue that they'd like a, you know, quick 4-minute coaching around?
Well, how about keeping the hands to yourself?
Yes. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Great. So, was this who was it just talking? Sheila, okay. So there was a couple of you that had this. I think that the thing that you want to do is, you know, number one, begin to get curious about when is it that you notice that it's happening. Is it at a time of the day when you know that they, you know, their brain health is not at the level that it wants to? So look at ways to make sure you're activating the brain as early as possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can keep your kids apart from everybody else until they kind of ease into their day. And so everybody kind of, you know, you can have everybody eat their breakfast in a different room. You could have them eat breakfast at a different time to kind of keep them separated until they're operating on full cylinders. The other thing is to really look at doing some behavior management around keeping your hands to yourself so you create a motivation. And what we always suggest for that is you pick a time period, and you start with a time period that you think that they can be pretty successful. And so maybe it's in the afternoon, maybe it's in the evening, but you say for 2 hours, you know, we're going to reward every, you know, if you're able to keep your hands to yourself for an hour or for 2 hours, then there'll be a reward. And maybe it's a star, maybe it's a chip, maybe it's a, you know, a short 10-minute reward. But something like that so that you're specifically focused on that. And I don't know, Sheila, is doing some sort of behavior management something that's easy for you or something that would be a real challenge for you?
No, that doesn't seem hard.
But you want to pick one thing, because one of the things that I, and that we actually have a workshop or a webinar that we did on reward systems. So you might want to go back and listen to that. But you want to, one of the things that makes it challenging for reward systems is that, you know, it's like if you're trying to reward for all day, and I talked to a client about this the other day, it's kind of like they were trying to reward for the whole day, and every time their child did something, then they took away a point, and then they added a point, and then nobody knows how many points you have. And if you're, you know, if you hit your brother, but then you put the garbage away, does it erase the point? And then nobody knows what you're rewarding, right? And so it's really important to pick one behavior and one time period and start with a time period that you think you can be really reasonably successful. So if the problem is keeping your hands to yourself in the morning, you might not want to start with the morning, although you'll graduate to that. You might want to start at another time of day. So you get them to see that and start paying attention to how they're keeping their hands to themselves. And then once they've mastered that at another time of day, then you take it to the morning and say, okay, we're going to try it for morning time. And if you can keep your hands to yourself for 30 minutes as we're getting ready for school, then you can, you know, play with my iPod in the car on the way to school. I'm making it up, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that resonate?
Yes.
Right. I know there was a couple other people that had this issue with hands to themselves. It was Jeannie and Donna had the opposite challenge, but it's the same thing, Donna, with the toys, that you might say, okay, the toys are a reward, so that if you are done with all the morning stuff by a certain time, then you can play with the toys for 10 minutes. A lot of times I'll recommend to parents, there are really kind of three different ways to handle motivation. You can either make it a reward, you can make it a consequence, or you can make it a kind of in between, which would be to take something that they normally get and to use it as a reward. Mm-hmm. Screen time is the one I use primarily with older kids, where instead of automatically getting screen time, they earn screen time. So I used this pretty successfully in my house when my kids were in middle school, trying to get them downstairs and out the door, where if they were downstairs by 10 after 7, they'd get 30 minutes of screen time. If they were downstairs, if they were ready to go by 7:30, they'd get 30 minutes of screen time. So I'm more than happy to give them an hour worth of screen time a day, but I'm withholding it from them and having them earn it rather than just giving it to them. And so it's not quite a consequence where you're like, okay, sorry, you lose your screen time. It's really, hey, let's earn screen time.
Mm-hmm.
This is Megan. I'm also having the hands to yourself problem.
Okay. Yeah.
And one thing that's really challenging for us, especially this morning, is that my son will, he won't necessarily touch his brother, but he'll go up to him and taunt him and act like he's going to touch him. So act like he's going to hit him or kick him or, you know, in the morning even just touch him. So then his younger brother, of course, gets really upset. You know, this is a pattern. And so he starts kicking. And then I've got two issues.
Okay. So how old is the older one, the 8-year-old, or is the younger one the 8-year-old?
The older one is 8, and his brother is 6.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's the piece of it is, you know, what is it for the – so the younger one is taunting the older one, or the older one is taunting the younger one?
The older one's taunting the younger one, and the younger one, you know, we've tried to coach him about, you know, ignoring his brother. If he doesn't react, then his brother will stop. But it's difficult. It's difficult for a 6-year-old. He understands,
right.
But to put that into action, especially in the heat of the moment, you know,
hard.
I don't blame him for getting upset.
No, and anybody would if somebody was in their face like that. So I'm wondering whether the opportunity is in getting more clear about what the behavior is that you expect, because it sounds like you don't just expect him to keep his hands to himself. You expect him to also not, incite an argument or a fight. You expect him not to taunt his brother. And
right.
So maybe the reward, and I don't know whether you're using a reward for hands to yourself or whether you're using a consequence for hands to yourself, but maybe the behavior change that you're trying to do is not just keep your hands to yourself, it's be kind to your brother and not taunt your brother or give your brother space or whatever it is that he needs in the morning is going to avoid the conflict, because what the problem is creating conflict and you want to avoid the conflict. Does that resonate?
Yes, definitely. And this morning was especially bad, and because after we had that incident, then when we all got downstairs, my older son started walking around the house, you know, saying like, na, 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 boo, boo, and, you know, really pushing his brother's buttons, and he got his 2-year-old sister to imitate him, and when we were trying to tell him, you know, you're not being nice, your brother told you he doesn't like that, you're not being nice, Charlie's reaction was just to say, well, we're trying to make him laugh. It's like he has an excuse or a reason for everything.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. So again, so you want to make sure that you're able to model and be really specific about the behavior expectation. So if he's doing things, so it's not just keeping his hands to himself. There's a set of behaviors that you expect him to have. And then the other thing that you might use, it just kind of popped into my head, is a code word. Did Elaine talk at all about code words last time?
No.
No.
Okay. So a code word is a tool that you can use when you need some quick action and a change of behavior. So the one that Elaine uses at their house is the word rope. And when somebody's kind of at the end of their rope, when they're starting to get triggered and they're about to have their buttons pushed and they're about to go over the deep end, they say the word rope. And anybody can say the word rope, and everybody's just to back off. And that's the house rule, is that it's not house rule, but it's like that's the guidance. If somebody says rope, everything stops and you give them space. Hmm. And so it might be something you could even teach your two-year-old, that when she starts to get upset, or, you know, when one of your sons gets upset, they use this word and they say rope. You could say it. I don't know. I would say it, because there are times that my 13-year-old and my 15-year-old irritate me so much that I'm almost at the end of my rope. So it's like, okay, wait, back off for a minute. I need some space. And then we can finish the conversation, or we can finish what we're doing. So coming up with some kind of word or signal that you can all use that mm-hmm. helps you before they go over the deep end and they begin mm-hmm. to know. And because sometimes you can hear and see things in a different way if it's, you know, not a lecture about, well, Johnny, we have to keep our hands to ourselves and we can't do this and we can't do that. You know, it's like we start to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Mm-hmm. I really like that idea. I just, it seems like anything I've ever been able to successfully implement or say gets turned around on me later. So then a few days later, most likely when we're telling my son at nighttime, you know, you need to do this and do your homework and go to bed, and he's playing and doesn't want to do his homework, he is... very much going to start telling me, rope, Mom, rope, rope, leave me alone.
Well, and I think that that's fair, but it's, so rope doesn't mean you get left alone forever. It means you get a 1 minute, and you have to take responsibility to calm yourself down. And so if he's, so in that instance, the focus would be on, okay, you called rope, how do we help you calm down, because we've got to finish homework.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we talked to him a lot about coping strategies, so that would be just another strategy.
Yep, yep.
Okay, thanks.
Good. All right, so we are at time, and I did not have time to kind of go through the questions, but we always do this at the end of each session. There's four questions, and they're on page 16, where we are right
mm-hmm.
now. So go to your work with page 16. You know, what did you focus on? What did you pay most attention to? With you, all the stuff we talked about today, what was the one that was kind of like, wow, that's really interesting? And then the second question is, what's your clarity? What was your main takeaway from the conversation today? What's the realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? And I can stay on for a minute longer if people want to report out. I know if people need to go off right at 3 o'clock, right at noon California time, feel free to drop off, and if you want to post your commitment in Facebook, you can, but I can stay on a minute longer if people want to share what their takeaway is or what their action is that they're going to do as part of our conversation.
Sorry, Diane, I don't have to leave. This is Jeannie. Bye.
Okay, Jeannie. Talk to you soon. Thanks for being on. Anybody want to share what their takeaway was or what they're going to do in terms of action?
Well, this is Sue. I think for me, one of the things that was a great takeaway for me is that concept of being your child's mirror of their behavior, because that just makes so much sense. Thinking of my son, who's 10 years old, and how some of it just does, it just feels normal to him, right? Of whatever it is he's doing at whatever moment. But to be able to, like, I think my goal for this week is to be that mirror for him and do it in a way that's not too irritating, you know? So in a way that's helpful. I'm hoping, this sounds like it'd be a really good thing to work on for this week.
Great. And the thing that I think I said before that's really important is that it's not about judgment. So it's just about
right.
helping them to see. And, yes, you might want to help them change their behavior, but if you can do it, if you do it constantly with judgment, it feels like scrutiny as opposed to mirror. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes, it does. It does.
It's like the difference between, like, the magic mirror who's telling you that you're the fairest of them all versus a mirror that just reflects whatever's there.
Okay. Great.
Could you go over that mirror, you said before about mirroring?
Yeah, so the whole concept of mirroring is just helping your child to see their behavior. And so if we're talking specifically about homework or about brain health, it's kind of like, wow, I noticed that you were really able to just get those problems done really fast. What do you think was different this time? Well, I knew that if I finished that I'd be able to play my game. Well, that's really interesting. You were able to finish faster because you had a motivation. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're just sharing with them what you see. That would be one example. Did you notice how long it took you to do that assignment? Or did you know how long it took, wow, you went upstairs to get your socks and you came down with a ball. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
You may not even notice that, or it's kind of like, oh, I can't believe you did it again. You're just really going, wow, isn't that interesting? Look at what I see. I see that you went up to get the ball and you came, went up to get the socks and you came down with a ball. Isn't that interesting? And sometimes it's just, if you can just let go of the judgment and have it be more of a mirror, it helps her, because our kids have a lot of opportunity to be wrong and to screw up. And so if you can share with them that they have not followed through on what they wanted to do or what you wanted them to do in a way that's not critical, sometimes it helps them from a self-esteem perspective.
Okay.
All right, so what other takeaways or actions do people want to share before we wrap up?
Well, I want to look at some of those videos or webinars. That's an action that I want to do for this week. But I'm not sure where to go to look at them.
So is that Lisa? Is that the voice I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Lisa, if you go out to the website and then you click on, there's a blue button at the very top in the right that says Members Login.
Okay.
And then you log in, and the password is Success with a capital S 2014, one word.
Okay.
And then it's I think it says webinars, and it's the
great. Thank you.
Top left button under, you click on PSS, Parent Success System, and then you click on webinars.
Okay.
Anybody else have a commitment in terms of action for next time?
This is Sheila. I'm going to create a motivation for the time that I feel that he can be successful in keeping his hands to himself, and reward that, like for an hour, like I'll set a timer on my phone so that I'll know when the time is up, and then give him a reward.
Awesome. Great. Well, we have time for one more. Anybody else before we wrap up?
This is Lynn. I think I'm going to change my aim to getting Shelby out of bed to making eating the more important issue, because she told me this morning, I said, look, the main thing is that we just get you out of bed and get dressed. And she said, no, Mom, main thing is that I get some breakfast. And I thought, okay. So we're going to make breakfast a big deal and see if that gets us up and going and moving in the morning.
Yep. Well, and we've moved to mobile breakfast at our house. I can't tell you the last time my kids had a bowl of cereal. They ate a bagel in the car. They ate peanut butter toast in the car. They ate cheese toast in the car. They ate breakfast burrito in the car. I mean, they ate, anything, but anything that they can eat in the car is how we're eating.
Oh, yeah, we've done that many a day.
Good. All right, everybody, great call today. Keep up the good work. We are on, so the next time we meet is going to be in 2 weeks. We're on a two-week, every other week schedule. Our next session is on Tuesday the 21st. Look forward to talking to you then. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.